Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Dealers of Ireland. Our showrooms are open for business with your health and safety our priority. For more, log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551, wash your hands. It remains to be seen if this Friday today, June the 5th, will be remembered as a good Friday or indeed a bad Friday, because as you have been hearing through leaks, and you will hear live on this programme at 2:15 or whenever the government press conference starts, the government are apparently announcing major changes to the roadmap. In other words, what was due to happen on the 29th of June is being brought forward in the main, it seems, till this to this coming Monday. And on the 29th of June, well, the 20K was going to start, but you've heard that's changed, was going to stay on 29th of June. But from Monday, you can travel 20K, but you can also travel any distance within your own county. Now, there's need for clarity on that. What if you're living 5K from your mother and father, but they are, sorry, 7K for argument's sake, you can see them at the minute, 7K from your mother and father, but they're in the next county. And county boundaries, by the way, were established over 1,000 years ago. They've no meaning except for GAA and local government in today's life in terms of demographics and topographics even and getting around. But anyway, from Monday, 20K is gone. It's within your own county. Now, there seems to be some tweaking of that because I raised it with Ronan when I was doing the promo. What happens if you are 8K from your relatives but over a county border? And apparently the tweak might be that you can go 20K if it is to see a relative over a county border. Okay, on the 29th of June, phase opening of creches and preschools for children of essential workers. We'll find out about that. And then other people are reporting that the June the 29th will be a big day, rather than the 10th of August, rather than the 20th of July. The June 29th will see hotels reopening, B&Bs reopening. It will see shopping centres, which were a big bogey in terms of being enclosed. They were down for the 10th of August, enclosed shopping centres. But it's now being reported that they will be able to reopen on June the 15th. And once people don't congregate in the shopping centres in areas such as food halls. So what we will do is we will bring it live and we'll get more information as it comes in. But it looks like, as I say, it's either a good Friday or a bad Friday, because some of the scientists and the medics might think it's a bad move to bring everything forward so dramatically, because that is quite a dramatic change to what we have been hearing. And then people will be asking, well, when will hairdressers reopen? They're talking about letting pubs open on the 29th of June. You heard our public and a number of them there on Wednesday said they were going to reopen on the 29th of June anyway, which didn't go down well with Tony Holohan, I know, because there were the publicans were sick, sore and tired, and the only people who could reopen were pubs who have a license to serve food. Okay, we'll get more, give it to you live as it happens during the programme. Okay, back to the issue that's been also surfacing on the programme in the last few days, and that is, why such a large number of people turned out at that Black Lives Matter demo on Monday. And with short notice, only on social media, it was probably the biggest demonstration about racism. And we were told by a number of Irish people who contacted us that the reason they went on the demo was that they had suffered racism after either their parents moved here or they moved here at a very young age. Now, Ciara Jones. Ciara, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. Tell us your story, Ciara, and that of your son, Trey, you'll be talking to in a few minutes.
I don't know where to kind of start. My sister emailed yourselves regards a letter my son had done, which was part of a project.
Okay.
He emailed, as all kids around the country, they're getting work packs home from school.
Okay.
So he emailed his principal on, I think, either Monday or Tuesday, and he just asked her, would it be possible if he could do a project on racism? It's something that he has suffered his whole life with. So she is great now. It's St. Colum Kills national school here in Kells, and his principal is Miss Mary Corcoran, and she's an absolute gem.
Right.
And she said, absolutely, Trey. She emailed him back a lovely email and said, you fire away with that project and, you know, leave the kind of the rest of the homework this week. So he did, and he done. He worked on artwork. He researched books that would be educational for other kids for racism, and books for actual adults as well about racism, and, you know, just to educate more about black history, which is not very well kind of...
Okay.
Taught here, I don't think. So he done a letter, a statement letter, Joe, and it broke my heart to read it because I know he has suffered racism all his life. I've been there through certain circumstances with him. But to see what he wrote was just, it's heartbreaking that, you know, I don't even know what to say, kind of.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, the letters. Is Trey there? Trey?
He is indeed.
How are you, Trey? You well?
Yeah.
What class are you in?
Fifth.
Good man. And what's your teacher called?
Mr. Farrelly.
Mr. Farrelly?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. You have a male teacher, which is unusual in primary school. Well done.
Thank
you. And you miss school?
Yeah, I miss my friends.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Now, by the way, you're very good handwriting.
Thank you.
Very good handwriting. And it's joined up handwriting, Trey. Well done. And you know about capitals and paragraphs and sentences and full stops. So I'm sure Mr. Farrelly will be very proud of you, Trey. And indeed the whole school. Would you read out the letter for me?
Yes.
Okay. And it's called?
My Encounter with Racism.
Okay. And Trey, take your time.
Yeah.
Read as slowly as you want. We've all the time in the world. So off you go, Trey.
My name is Trey Jones. I'm 11 years old. People say I'm mixed race, but I say that I'm black because I know what people see when they look at me. I'm proud to be black. Since I was a baby, I've suffered from racism from adults and children who are white. I have been called the N-word so many times. I have been told to go back to Africa. I've been called chocolate-faced monkey and burnt, and that I'm a little slave boy. These things really hurt my feelings, and I will hear these things like this for all my life. I wish white people would stop being racist and be kinder to all races.
That's incredible. That's incredible, Trey. And you've been, like, and is it, insofar as you can, is it adults or other children that come out with these awful, awful sentences?
It's more all of them. They're all not the nicest.
Yeah. But you have good friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, your friends are good. But this is an incredible thing to happen to someone, one so young, and something so cruel, so deeply cruel. Be called, as you say, I've been called... Kira, sorry?
You know, particularly some of the kind of the worst instances have been from adults.
Yeah, called the N-word, Trey told us there so many times.
Yeah.
I've been told to go back to Africa. What in the name of God? And I've been called, and I'm sorry, do you mind if I repeat some of these things, Trey? I don't want to be upsetting you again, okay. I've been called a chocolate face monkey. That you're born, and you're a little slave boy. And Trey, how did you react when you heard those awful words?
Well, it got me upset. I don't like when people say that type of stuff. It's not the nicest thing to say to people.
Yeah, and we had one man on early in the week. Was it Timmy or Jesse? I think it was Timmy, and he said he suffered a racist incident in Dublin recently in the city centre, and he had a 3-year-old boy with him. Who like you, is black, as you say, and you're proud to be black, but he's Irish as well, proud to be Irish. And he said he's so glad the 3-year-old couldn't understand what this man was shouting at him. He just said to his father, who is that bad man? Kira, have you been present when Trey has been abused like this?
Yeah. The first encounter I would have had was when he was about one and a half, outside the crash when I was collecting him from work. And, like, I was going out to collect him after work. My mum had brought me up to collect him, and there was a gentleman parked in a disabled spot without any sticker. And my mum had a disability sticker for our car. So she kind of, this is a kind of ongoing occurrence with this gentleman. And my mum was like, Ciara, you need to say something to him going in. So I got out of the car and I just kind of said to him, you know, you shouldn't be parked there.
Yeah.
Entered the crash, got Trey, come out. And as I was buckling Trey into his car seat, the gentleman rolled his window down and he told me, more or less, get the F into your car with your little N son and F off. There's been other ones. He bumped into an older gentleman coming out of a shop when he was about five. And that's where the first comment from Africa. I'm sick of your kind. I wish you would F back to a five-year-old.
Holy good God.
There's so many instances and jokes, like people mocking his hair texture. I saying to him he must be adopted because his mother's white. It's a continuous kind of list of stuff that has happened over the years, and it's sad that when he puts it in a letter now, so many people are just kind of like, that shouldn't be going on, that shouldn't happen, but even poor Trey feels like nothing will change. I will have to endure this my whole life.
Yeah, why do you say that, Trey? Why do you think it will not change as people get more savvy and educated, and this hatred that's around this
I don't really know. It's just some people think they're cool and all that to say that to some people.
Even though you, I know it's not cool. You know it's not cool. First of all, it's not true for a start. It's ridiculous. And Samantha Power was saying yesterday that the former U.S. ambassador to the UN, and she was saying, you know, we need to educate people. We need to raise the issues as often as we can and get people talking about it. And we also, I think as well, and this came up a number of times, that people were saying, passers-by, people who hear this being said to Trey, it shouldn't be left to Trey and it shouldn't be left to Ciara to check these people and challenge these people.
I think check these people, but stand with the individual. Stand with them that's getting the racial abuse. Stand with them and let them know you're with them. Comfort them and, you know, because these type of people, if that's their views, it's hard to see that they're going to change them. So make sure that that individual knows you're with them. You stand with them and you don't tolerate.
And Trey, have you been watching the events in the United States on the news, the protests and the demonstrations? Yeah. What struck me, Trey, I don't know whether you've seen, but some of the young people like yourself who are speaking out are absolute, as you were, are absolutely powerful. They really are powerful about racism and Black Lives Matters and the search for justice and stop labelling people and dismissing people and killing people, as is in the States, because of the colour of their skin. The colour of their skin, it's just, it's beyond belief at this stage. Ciara, would you feel comfortable saying, well, you see, I don't think you should leave enough to be doing. If someone calls your son the name, you have enough to be doing feeling that pain for your son and with your son than chasing someone down the street and saying, why did you say that, and get a grip or whatever. But though I know friends of mine who are gay, when recently they were shouted at across the street about being gay, and they ran up and confronted the gang of young fellas who did it. Now, there wasn't physical, by the way. Could have got physical.
Oh, yeah.
And they ran after the three or four young fellas that shouted at them and said, why did you jeer us like that? And they ended up having a discussion about it. And the lads basically admitted and apologised for the stupidity of what they've done. But stay with us, Trey, if you can, and Kira. Marco Dias. Marco, good afternoon.
Hello.
How are you?
Touched, yeah, after listening to Trey's story. And I just wanted to tell you, Trey, that you're not alone, and there are more people on our side than you believe now. And,
And what's your own situation, Marco, can I ask?
I've been protesting on the Chew. I went on my own on Sunday and stood in front of Stephen's Green Shopping Centre with a poster saying Black Lives Matter. Okay. And I joined a group of people that marched from O'Connor Street to the American Embassy protesting. It's been a roller coaster for me because I'm an Afro-Brazilian and I live in Ireland for 13 years and I see racism every day. Sometimes it's violent and verbal and sometimes it's very subtle. It's so subtle that people don't even realize and people think it's just a joke or it was just a nice comment, you know. By the fact that because of the color of your skin, people will think you should speak in a different way or not. That's something that it happens a lot to me. Oh, how come you speak so well? You know, people presume because of the color of your skin, you're not capable to speak a language. The list goes on. You know, I could be here talking forever about it. But it's sad. It's sad to see a 5-year-old kid just feeling this. But I repeat to him now and say he's not alone, and we're all together. You know. And we have to bring awareness and we have to re-educate people because we've been educated in a way that is racist. We have to revise our books and look back and see, well, this is history. This is colonial, you know, white men going abroad, making people their slaves. And history is just being taught, you know, this way. So it's way more than we think. This act of violence in the street, because I've suffered quite a lot. I've been told to go back to Africa quite a lot here.
Yeah.
And I come from Brazil, you know, so it's and it happens there now as well at this moment. It's beyond even our imagination because it's so infiltrated in our society, in the way that we live, that it makes us believe that it's not there. And that's why conversations like this is very important because it brings awareness to people, you know.
And those, and Trey has outlined the blatant racism, the horrific racism, that name calling, and you said about physical attacks, but you also mentioned, Marco, the subtle racism.
Yes.
Can you give me examples of that? Because hopefully there's learning for people in this as well, as you say, education. The subtle racism.
I just mentioned earlier, and I'll say again, when I meet someone, when I make a new friend, people look at me and ask, how come I speak so well English? And this is racism, because you can't expect somebody to speak in a certain way just because of their color the country that they come from, you know? So, oh, your hair is nice, it's real. Is it yours? And I'm like, well, can't you know the thought of some people that you the way that your hair grows and is the same with Trey. His mother just mentioned that about his hair, that people make comments about his hair. I've been people have in parties, in pubs, and things just came without asking me permission and touched my hair just because they wanted to feel how it was. You know, and just wanted to touch it or photograph it, and this is it. When you are in the situation, people think it's nice, but it's beyond. It's It's an objectification of the human. Mm-hmm. when because you have a certain type of hair, which is I wouldn't even use the word texture hair, because using the word texture hair, mm-hmm. we're being racist as well. Coming from a hairdresser as I am, we should say just Afro hair. You know, and coming from a person with Afro hair, you're being photographed or being made fun of, or people want to come and touch and feel your hair. This is it's very oppressive as well. It generates a lot of emotion, mm-hmm. and I can see myself in Trace, because I grew up in a society, in a racist society. So I've been through all these things. I've been called names as well. And it's sometimes people think it's a joke, mm-hmm. but it's actually not a joke. It was made us believe by a system that is okay to say that your hair is a certain way, or how you shouldn't speak this way, or how come you speak this way, or are you ever used to with the weather? You know, I'm here 13 years. You know, and I come from a cold part of Brazil, so it's the perception is different, because nobody would go to a white person and touch their hair and say, "Oh, I just want to feel your hair."
You'd get a slap.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You would be called names. You would get a slap. You would be depending on the country that you are, you would end up in jail. You know, just for touching someone's hair.
Marco, you were mentioning earlier, and I know you said it in your email, that you are you're a salon owner, but people, yes, when they come into your salon, are surprised that Marco is the owner.
Yes. The Marco, that black person, is the owner. And many times I have situations where people walk into the shop and look at my lighter skin stuff, or the white people that work for me, and ask, "Oh, are you Marco?" And then they're like, "No, this is Marco." And then people had that reaction, oh, you're Marco. You know, there's always that pre-thought that people have, that a business owner should have an aesthetic, a standard aesthetic. It is racism, you know. Because you go somewhere, you shouldn't expect, well, you should expect it to be treated and have your service done, but not the color of the person's, the color of the business owner or anything.
Okay. Thanks, Marco. I just want to go back to Trey for a sec. Trey, you're in fifth class. I know you love your school. It's a great school. You love your teacher. You love your principal. They're really good. But do fifth class talk about racism? I know they are now because you raised it as a project. But would you have felt comfortable, and it doesn't matter what school you're in, but would you feel comfortable standing up in your classroom and saying, "Listen, friends, buddies, pals, you know, this is what I was called yesterday," or whatever happened. Would you feel comfortable doing that, Trey?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's good. And do you talk about racism in school?
No.
No. And you think? Do you think you do you think the school should?
Yeah.
Well, I think after this letter, more schools will, because I think this letter is. We put it up on our Twitter accounts, Trey, with your permission, and Kira's permission, and at Joe Liveline and at RTE Liveline. I already see people reacting to it. Some people are saying they're crying listening to you, Trey, tell the story that you told in this letter, my encounters with racism. And Kira, I know Trey's dad has passed away, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It was quite some time ago. Yeah. So, unfortunately, he hasn't got a strong black father figure, you know, a man.
Yeah.
That's because, like, as a white woman, I'm learning from Trey on this.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
that's a remarkable.
Unfortunately,
way to put it, yeah.
Yeah, and I have to, I have so much more that I need to learn.
Yeah.
Regards this, because yourself, Joe, myself, we'll never experience being judged for the colour of our skin.
Absolutely, God, and no one should. No one should.
But unfortunately, Marco and Trey and
the people
so
we heard,
many,
yeah.
You know, you see this hashtag Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
And then you have unfortunately, and I don't agree with, you know, everyone does the all lives matter.
Yeah.
You know, yes, all lives matter, but this right now is Black Lives Matter, and unfortunately to a lot of people, Black lives do not matter to them.
Maria is on the line, and I meant to say one of the reasons, well, we're all very interested in America, but one reason is that your dad was from America, wasn't he, Trey?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. And I'm sorry that you lost your dad, Trey, I really am, that he died, and Kira. Maria, your point, please.
Hi, Joe, how are you?
Good, thanks. Yeah, you're listening to Trey and to Marco and Kira.
Hi, guys. Yeah, Trey's story really hit home with me, I think because I'm originally from New York Hills. And if anyone ever asked me if Irish people were racist, I'd always say no.
Mm-hmm.
And his story just really opened my eyes. I've been oblivious for a long time about what, you know, our friends and our neighbours who are people of colour are going through. So I just want Trey to know that 99% of the country are behind him.
Yeah.
And the 1% who are saying these comments don't represent, you know, human spirit, Irish spirit. And I think we all need to remember that the message used to be no blacks, no dogs, no Irish. You know, we've all Irish people have been through something similar in years gone past. So it's time for us to stand up for people of colour now and let them know that they're not alone.
Okay, well said, well said. I wish we could say 100%. I really would. And maybe Trey's contribution today will be an education for a lot of people and will check a lot of people, especially young people, if they do it, because of Trey's own age, would check them and get them to learn and know that to say this thing isn't just wrong. It's bad. It's immoral. It's unfair. It's unjust, and it's untrue. To use this language. Okay, Helen, your point, please, Helen.
Well, listening to that woman, I'm just remembering myself. Actually, 62 years ago, when I went to England, married, we went around those places where no Irish and no dogs could apply for flats or anything else, and my husband worked with all the Jamaicans.
Yeah.
And they were brilliant, and they used to call themselves browned off paddies.
Right.
But I have a son-in-law and a grandson who are brown. They're not even black, they're brown. And they've had that racism for the last, 35 years.
Yeah.
My son-in-law is now, that's how long he's here, he's an Irish citizen. And my grandson is Irish born with an Irish mother and a foreign father. Yeah. And we never noticed that he was brown till people start saying, oh, yeah, I see him, you have the little black fella.
Yeah. And what do you think of Trey's letter?
My heart is broken for that child. My heart is broken. And what I'm saying is, have you ever met a black teacher yet? We love our black nurses and we love our black carers, but we don't see any black teachers or social workers. I have an old sister who is 91 and has two carers who come into her daily, and they're lovely. One is Chinese and one is black.
Yeah.
So we're not going to change, Joe, and I'm glad I'm in my 80s because I can't change things now and I'm never going to change things, and I'm on my way out. Right. And that's my attitude.
Well, it shouldn't fall. Trey will change things, but it shouldn't fall on his shoulders.
No, it should not.
Yeah.
It will never change. As you said, Joe, the same with the gays.
Yeah, but that has changed dramatically, and rightly so, and long should never have been there in the first place. Lee, I just want to bring in Leanne, because I'm conscious I might have to go to this press conference at short notice.
Leanne,
your point, please.
I'm actually from Romania originally,
okay.
But I've been living here all my life. I'm actually adopted.
Yeah.
And my brother, he's actually adopted as well, and he's from Belarus. And
okay.
I found when I was younger, I was questioned by, like, everyone. Like, oh, how come, like, you look different? Or everyone would actually think, even, like, nowadays that we're together, me and my brother, which is a bit odd. But, I think I've gotten used to it. And I don't mean it, I'm not being flippant or anything, but, like, when you grow up, dealing with even people staring at you or like just like asking about your skin colour, like you do kind of get used to it. And you learn to respond in different ways, I suppose, when you get older. When I was younger, I was a bit, like, offended by it. But, like, when I'm getting older, I've just realised people are kind of, they don't understand. And you can't blame people for that, because if you don't grow up knowing anything, or, like, you know, like, living with white people or whatever the matter is, like, or go to school and not have people of nationalities, like, how do you expect people to, like, know? Do you know that kind of way? Yeah. So I don't really, like, hate on that, because if I was to do that all the time, someone asked me about my skin colour, I'd drive myself mental. Do you know that way?
Yeah. I hope people are listening. I really do, and people will take a stand. And I was a Kira who said to us in your communication, like, or no, it was Marco, I think. Marco, you talked about people not speaking up. Are you still there, Marco?
Yes, I am. Yes,
that it's important to speak up.
It is important to speak up. I think we're in times. This is the time that we have to not only be non-racist, we have to be anti-racist, you know.
Okay.
And we can start just checking our language first, and what we say and how we say things, you know, because there's a lot of negative terms in English language that would psychologically make you think negatively of a black person. And I'll use examples. We have black male for extortion, and we have a black market for illegal work, illegal products. So it's beyond, you know, it's implanted in our society in a way that kids, they will grow up reading, listening to these words and literature and how history was it's been told, and then have these actions when they are older, that they won't feel the pain or even empathy, and won't be able to talk, to speak up. You know,
Thanks. That's Marco Diaz. Thanks, Leanne. Thanks, Kira. And thanks, Trey. Trey, I hope you get to be with your pal soon. Thanks. Your contribution was absolutely brilliant. And maybe we'll talk to you soon, Trey, about the reaction and how things hopefully are changing. So, Trey, you mind yourself?
Yeah.
Okay, good man. And who did he's got this? Who's your favourite? Do you have a favourite football team?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Liverpool.
Jurgen Klopp. He's brilliant, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's brilliant. And there's a new book out about him, a biography, where he comes across really as a really decent man. Trey, look after yourself. See you soon. And Kira and another contributor as well.